Jay, Bill, thank you all for the beautiful singing. I'm so glad to be back in Silver Bay. You, of course, all of you who do know me know that I'm at home in CFO. It was my home before, long before the church knew what a jewel they had in me. I'm not quite sure they know yet. But CFO has really been made up of my family all across this country, and I thank God. And Silver Bay, I'll just have to say it, is my choice campsite. I just love it here by Lake George. I don't know what all that means, except God blesses me here by this lake, unusually. And I'm thankful to the Lord for it. Along with many of you old-timers, I've been praising God for so many who've gone on to heaven and that we knew and loved and fellowship with here. And I was also thrilled to see all of the young ones that are here, as well as the middle-aged ones, too. But it's just beautiful to realize the diversity of age and background, expression, outreach, and upreach that is represented in the team in CFO. Before I go farther, let's bow for just a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this council ring and for all the work that's been done to bring us together. Thank you for every member that you put together as members of the team to minister here. Thank you, Lord. We realize that without you, we are nothing and can do nothing. But we know we're more than conquerors in you, that you're here in your resurrected glory, and you're here to do the work that needs to be done, not according to our limitations, but according to the power that has raised you from the dead. Thank you, Lord, for helping each of us to be sensitive, receptive, responsive. Let barriers fall from our minds and hearts, and let us all be quickened with all might in that inner person by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You all are wonderful. I want to read some choice verses from the Colossian letter, the first chapter, beginning with verse 9. I happen to have the New King James Version. I hope yours is inspired too. For this reason, this is verse 9 of chapter 1 following. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created of heaven that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. CFO is a testimony to the reality of the kingdom of God on earth. CFO is a testimony to the reality of the kingdom of God on earth. We are here to experience the fact that we can be in heaven on the way to heaven, and that we don't have to wait until after we die and go to the land beyond the sky, but right here, right now, with folks like us, we can experience this dominion of the kingdom of God as a present reality, and can so experience it that we can continue to live in the kingdom of God and manifest God's kingdom in our daily walk. Now, that's the glory of what this camp's all about, that we are a people called of God, and we have dared answer that challenge to submit ourselves to learn of the Holy Spirit as He guides us into manifesting the new age of glory that is eternal. Now, tonight, I want to talk about some basics of kingdom living. And maybe never get off of them the whole week. Some basics in kingdom living. Now, one basic of kingdom living is this. We are not our own. We are His. You can just say that to yourself. I am not my own. I have been bought with a price, not of silver and gold, but of His precious blood. I belong to Jesus. I am His. Now, this is a basic work of the Holy Spirit. It's a basic work in your life and in mine, and in every child of God who enters into the kingdom. We enter in through a door where we give up ownership of self. Are you ready? Are you young people ready for that? I'm not quite sure I am always. I really want to live in the kingdom, but I want it to be God's kingdom, because I know that's really the best and the greatest and the only real kingdom. But I wish God had sense enough to let me have my way. I wish God somehow would say, Tommy, at last, I've gotten wise, and you can live with me in my kingdom in your name. You know, I wish that because of selfishness that hadn't died yet. I wish that because of a lack of knowledge about the goodness and glory of God. I wish that because of fear based on ignorance prior to coming to the kingdom. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in human experience to wash over our minds, not only our conscious minds, but our deep unconscious minds, until all of the debris of self-ownership has been washed away, and we have been birthed into a consciousness of God's love to such a degree that we gladly say, we can gladly look in His face and say, I'm yours. I'm yours. I am not mine. I'm yours. Now, to the degree that we can say this, We're already in a new order. We're in an that will never fade away. Every other kingdom, regardless of how good it may seem or how necessary it might be, is temporal and is already having within it seeds of self-destruction. Whether that's your business kingdom, your physical kingdom, your home kingdom, your mental kingdom, whatever kingdom it may be, to the degree that it's self-centered, to the degree that it hasn't died out in favor of God, it has been seeds of self-destruction and is doomed. Really, that's true. There's one kingdom that is eternal. It's not up for vote. Too bad about that. It's not established by popular vote. It's established by divine decree. And he's already decreed that his kingdom is eternal and that it fades not away. He's already established that. And he's saying to each one of us, I want you to know the joy of living with me in my kingdom. So let's begin tonight in a new way of saying to the Holy Spirit, wash over my mind, conscious and unconscious. Wash over my emotions. Wash through my soul and wash away anything that is reluctant to be wholly his, and instill within me in joyous love the power of abandonment unto God. Now, to the degree that we are birthed into that awareness, we realize it's a new world. It's a new world where not only are we his, but we are his. Amazing, isn't it? In God's kingdom, in your name. See, we're stewards, we're not owners. We're not owners, not in God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, he is the owner. We are stewards. That means people that he lets act as if they own. He lets us learn to care for, develop, and learn to rightly use. But it's his. Now, let's just look, this is radical when you begin to apply it. Look what that means about you as a human being. Are you learning to put this kind of value judgment on yourself? That you are God. You were made by him. You were made for him. And you're birthed into this consciousness in love. Now, have you come to that place? Let me tell you one thing that happens in that consciousness. You stop comparing yourself with values given to you by a decadent world order. Those values run something like this, that you are judged by what you do. Used to be, if you were a preacher, you were somebody. You still are in some circles. You know? Yeah. Used to be, if you were a doctor, you were looked up to. Hard help. Amazing, isn't it? But even so, if you really want a value judgment in this world, become a rock and roller. Michael Jackson. Boy, he was at Dallas Saturday night and got $1,800,000. for one night in Dallas. How about that, boy? That value. I'm sure Michael's a precious boy. I haven't got a thing against Michael. But look at the value judgment the world. Amazing, isn't it? Well, all of us grew up in various systems that gave us a sense of value judgment, either good or bad. We do it in our marriage. We learn how to as husband and wife. And you know exactly what to do to make that old boy think he's got the greatest thing going. Amazing, isn't it? And you know why you know it? You learn it from him. We do it with our children. My goodness, look how we place certain value judgments in order to manipulate their behavior. Amazing, isn't it? And I'm not saying that altogether. Yes. One more time. The spirit, we are Trinitarian. Spirit, soul, body. Spirit, basically, is the capacity of fellowship and the intuitive processes of knowledge. Soul, basically, is will. Fearfully. I'm made by God. I'm made by His hand. I am a unique expression of God's creative genius. Man! Woo! A unique expression of God's creative genius. Don't you know who I am? Who you are? Are you learning? Are you discovering? Are you experiencing? Nobody else likes you. Own IQ. We have three little granddaughters. Two of them called me last week. Oh, you'll be so proud of us. Why, darn, we just got our own. That test they take from California. Is it California? Cat, is it California? We just got our cat scores back 98 percentile. I said, Barton, both of you did so well. But I want you to know, I'm proud of you. Not because you did so well in California. I'm proud of you just because you're you. Ladies and gentlemen, see, already in school, if you really have gifted the ability to respond in certain ways that they can measure statistically and give you good grades, if you happen to be gifted in such a way that your gifts are not scholastically expressed, growing up in a competitive school system, you know, where we really put a sense of value without help, not that we can't grade, but can't we find other ways to let people discover their value? Infinite worth. I'm finding this is so necessary. God has made us in a consciousness of infinite worth. And I don't know any system in the world that can do that. That consciousness comes as a work of the Holy Spirit, releasing the love of God in our hearts. And experience who we are as persons. Persons of infinite worth, as we can explore the potential that's within us. It's wonderful, isn't it? This is what is behind so much discomfort today. Why shouldn't we, as Christians, delve into the psychological expression, the philosophical expression, the expression, all these other expressions that help us to discover the uniqueness of our own maker? Why should I have such a hand about God's creative genius wrapped up in me? Praise God. Why shouldn't I? Are you learning to do that when you pray? Are you paying attention to your own thought life when you pray? Watch as well as pray. Are you doing it? Are you developing a prayer life just parroting phrases that you've heard from folks? I'm going to tell you that's easy to do. I do a lot of that. I get around Virginia, and really knows how to pray. Before the week's out, I'll be praying like Virginia. So I can manipulate God, too. Do you dare pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you? Do you dare learn to give yourself to walk in obedience to the light of God that comes through you? To the degree that you know yourself to be a peculiar vessel unto God, sanctified unto his grace. To that degree, you should pay attention to what's going on the inside of you. I have a friend, beautiful Christian girl, who's in the makeup and color coordination and all that. And every time I see her, she's got one miracle story after another. And I said to her the other day, how do you attribute, or to what do you attribute all these miracles that are happening through you? She said, Tommy, I'm being used by the Holy Spirit to let women especially discover how beautiful they are. She said, I am surprised at the number of women who don't know this beautiful, especially after they've been married a few years. Because I realize, for instance, I've been married 39 years. And I've gone through periods of time when I've just taken her for granted. She hasn't picked up from me how special she is. God forbid that I should live like that. Live in the presence of someone so wonderful and not transmit that consciousness. Just somebody to fix my grapefruit in the morning and keep me from having white gravy. Say it together. No, it's wonderful what you begin to realize. What I'm saying here about basic in kingdom living, if you really know that this is God's world, that we are God and that we are precious. Bill Wilson is one of my favorite people. He's a dear friend. Bill is a psychiatrist. He teaches in the med school there. In fact, he and Ken Kinghorn and Ross Whetstone and I sort of are in a group that examines one another. Tells each other what we think. Do you belong to anybody like that? But look, let me tell you what I really think about you and me too. And tell me what you think. Are you in a group that examines your life? It's devastating, isn't it, sometimes? And yet it's life-giving. Well, the four of us sort of make up that kind of group, I guess, in a sense. But Dr. Bill said he was working in this maternity ward, and there were about 3 or 4 babies to be birthed that night. And he said the first one that was to be born, he was standing there, in the maternity room, in the delivery room, with the mother, and this baby started coming forth. And he said, I looked and saw that baby's head coming from the room. And as the baby's head emerged, I thought to myself, it has to be the ugliest baby there's ever been. Said, as his head came out, his ears flop forward, you know, like a mule. And he said, I looked, and that baby's nose hooked like Pinocchio. The picture of that baby was just clearly anything but beautiful. And he said, I stood there and helped the mother, and I assisted the mother all I could, but when that baby was birthed, I took that baby immediately over and started working on it myself. How long can I keep this mother from finding out? And in the meantime, some of the other mothers needed it, so I gave the baby to one of the nurses to finish. And he said, about the time we finished with the other babies that were being birthed, the Dr. Wilson, how soon can I see my baby? I want to see my baby. So I went over and the nurse was just about through. So I took the baby, finished cleaning him, and powdered him good. And then wrapped all the blankets, hoping that mother would just take that blanketed baby and hold him to her bosom without looking. And said, I went over and handed the baby to mother. Handed the mother the baby. And said, to my dismay, right, it's easy. She began to unpeel those blankets. And held that little old baby up to her face. And looked at me and said, Dr. Bill, isn't he the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life? And he said, God spoke to my heart. And said, Bill Wilson, repent. Because you have a little image of yourself based on what you have picked up from a different world. And you've never dared believe how precious and wonderful you are in my eyes. Bill said he fell to the floor. Right in the maternity store. Repent before God. You need to repent. You need to repent. Let me just take this a step further. I'll give you a little scripture for this one. Of course, I'll give you scripture for all of it. There was one fellow who was learning this. His name was Peter. He was an evangelist, Holy Ghost evangelist. Became an apostle. He was holding a mission in this All Saints Church. And went home with the Simons for supper. And he was on the housetop while Miss Simon was preparing supper. And praying, having a quiet time. And I guess if he'd been Catholic, he'd rested in the Spirit. He was Methodist, he was slain in the Holy Ghost. But whatever happened, he fell into a trance. You know, this Bible is full of weird stories, isn't it? Really, amazing. I want to rewrite it sometimes. But here's a perfectly sensible man falling into a trance and through prayer. And in this trance, he has a vision. A sheep, a four-cornered sheep, that's down from the heaven. And a voice said, Peter, take, kill and eat. And he looked in, all manner of four-footed beasts. And he said, that's not kosher. I'm a Jewish boy. Nothing unkosher has ever touched my lips.
Please stop your recorder and turn the cassette over for the continuation of the message on side 2.